Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Recknell, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to my guest today, Dr. Madeline Plett. Hello, Madeline.
Hi, Lindsay.
It is awesome to have you here. I'm so excited to hear how both your personal and career journey has so much hope involved in it, and to hear some of the transformations that you're making in the lives of other people.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Let me tell our audience a little bit more about you, and then I'll pass it over to you to share your story with us. So Dr. Madeline was born and raised in Calgary. She has three siblings and is lucky to be part of a big, chaotic, loving family. She first saw a chiropractor when she was 16, which changed her life. She knew at that age that it was what she wanted to be. She completed her Bachelor of Science degree at the University of Calgary and then moved to the San Francisco Bay Area for chiropractic college. It was there that her passion for chiropractic was catapulted. She began acquiring additional training to better care for pregnant and pediatric populations, which has become her focus in her current practice. Her partner and she just started their own office in Calgary called Connected Chiropractic, a stone's throw from my house, P.S., where they both work to bring high-quality, heart-focused care to Calgary's individuals and families. Amazing. I mean, even your bio is inspiring to hear. I just love how connected you are to your work. So tell us a little more about how hope has motivated action in this journey for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be sharing a story about a child today that I got to take care of, but I think I feel very connected to her because I was that kid. I was a kid who was pretty anxious. I never slept well. I think I was just, you know, pretty disconnected. And there were things, I think, going on that just made me struggle more than the average kid struggles. And I think some of those things are gifts. I was highly sensitive. And I know that all of the things that we can struggle with can also be our gifts. But it wasn't until I was 16, that I went to a chiropractor for the first time. And it was just because my back hurt. And, you know, I called my mom and she found me somebody to go to, but it changed my life. I was out of pain quickly, which I thought was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I also, for the first time in my life, started sleeping well. Like, I was able to fall asleep. I used to, you know, lay there at night. I had terrible nightmares all through my childhood and even into teenage years. And it was the first time I was able to fall asleep. And it was the first time that I just felt good in my body. And it kind of made me go, oh, everyone else has felt like this this whole time. And looking back, I know now that that was, you know, pretty major anxiety. And just, you know, when your body's stuck in a state of fight or flight, it's really hard to feel settled. You're kind of always looking for something bad to happen, which can be very exhausting. And so, you know, I saw this chiropractor. She was super gentle, you know, a little, like, she just used a little clicker. It was like click, click, click. And after a few visits, I felt like a different person. So that motivated me to do the same thing for other people. Most people, you know, didn't know what they wanted to do with their life when they were 16. So I feel very lucky, to have found kind of like my career path, my passion when I was that young, but it really quickly, you know, motivated me to know, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to go to university, get my bachelor degree. And then I found just the best chiropractic college. And I moved there and I got to pursue a career where, like, my life is around hope. My life is, you know, every day I wake up and I go to the office and I get the fulfillment of watching other people find hope again and find healing and reconnect themselves, which allows them to reconnect to the people around them. Mm. So I feel very lucky that I was able to, you know, find a career where hope is literally the center of every single day.
Mm. Oh, it just gives me shivers to hear you speak about it and to see you speak about it, because I mean, the definition of hope is that the future will be better than today. And so for so many people, for that, you know, small girl inside of you that knew that it didn't have to be this way once you were kind of exposed to the potential. I mean, that is the epitome of hope. It's so, so cool to hear. When we were sort of prepping for this interview, you were telling me a story about a little girl who had come into your office and the power of the transformation that you were able to help her through. Could you share a little bit about that story with us?
Yeah, absolutely. She will always be, she's one of my favorite, you know, characters, beings that I've ever gotten to work with. And I actually met her indirectly. Her day home mom was a patient of mine, and her day home mom was coming in for help with migraines. And, you know, she'd gotten permission from all of the parents of the kids that she was caring for to bring them with to her appointments. And so it was kind of cute because every time she'd come in, she had this little, like, you know, parade of little kiddos joining her. And, you know, I'm adjusting this mom, and there's this little girl staring at me. She would just kind of stand, you know, quietly a couple meters away, and she watched me the whole time. And I commented to her day home mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. Look at her. And the day home mom said, oh, that is the most miserable kid you will ever meet. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, even her mom calls her the spawn of Satan. And so hearing that, immediately I knew, and I said to her, I was like, there has to be something that's causing it. Most, you know, I don't believe that children are miserable for the sake of being miserable. I don't believe adults are miserable for the sake of being miserable. I believe that there is something causing that. And especially in a child that age, because I think she was just under two. She was about 22 months, I believe. I just had a feeling, I'm like, there's got to be something causing her to be so uncomfortable that she is therefore so miserable. And so whenever I see a person who looks uncomfortable, it can be like in a mall, I see somebody walking by, I'm like, oh, I need to, I want to help. And so I asked her day home mom, I said, well, you know, I would love to check her. I would love to check and see if there's something that I can find that would make sense for her being so uncomfortable and therefore miserable. And so she spoke with this little girl's mom. She got permission for me to do an assessment. And, you know, I got to know a little bit of her history. She had struggled with constipation from when she was a baby. So, you know, all 22 of her months on earth, she was super constipated. I think adults can attest that if you're constipated, you're not very happy. It's, you know, can be deeply uncomfortable. And the other thing that we know about pediatric populations is that when they are, you know, when it seems like they're in pain, it's almost always gut related, because that's where we have a lot of, like, the sensory development is there. And so it's almost always a digestive issue, with some exceptions. But, you know, when I heard that she had been constipated forever, you know, I got to feel her tummy. I checked her system, felt her spine. You could feel that her body was just not functioning well. And that obviously she was deeply uncomfortable. So I, you know, had the opportunity to start working with her, you know, explain some of these things to her mom. This is about getting her nervous system just working a little bit better. And hopefully that leads to her being able to poop, which is going to make her a happier individual. And so I worked on her that day. I adjusted her for the first time. And, you know, her mom was worried, you know, that she was going to not want me to touch her, because her mom said that she wasn't really a kid who liked being touched. And the thing that was really cool in her first adjustment was, you know, the second I had my hands on her, you know, I started with my hands on her back, she melted into me. And you could just feel her body kind of, like, you know, kind of breathe properly for the first time. And so, you know, I worked with her that day. The work I do with kids is mostly, it's called a tonal based technique. Obviously with kids, you never, like, pop them or crack them. If people think about traditional chiropractic, I'm always like, I don't do that to kids. But it's very much about just finding where the body is holding on to stress, and just generally I'm just holding that, and I'm just allowing the body's awareness to come to that area. And it's almost like you're inviting energy or breath to that area again, so that the body can therefore do what it's designed to do. And so I just did the first time. She was coming in a couple of times a week to start. And by the time she'd come in for her second appointment, she'd had a good poop, which was cool. It was a victory. Because most, you know, with constipated kids, they get like these like tiny little nuggets typically when they're constipated, and it's really difficult for them to even pass that. So she had had a pretty normal bowel movement by that time, which gave me, you know, I knew that we were on the right path. And then by her second adjustment, when she'd come in for her third, you know, she was pooping. She was having a good poop daily. I talk about poop a lot, so it's become very normal for me. And I think it was at her fourth adjustment that her day home mom said something to me that I'll never forget. And, you know, I asked her how she's doing. This little girl would run into the office and climb on the table. She was really excited to get adjusted, which is always so cool. And, her day home mom said, yeah, she's doing a lot better. She honestly seems like she's a lot less miserable than she was. And she said her mom had heard her laugh for the first time in her life. And that blew my mind, because I guess I didn't realize that, like, you know, this little child had been so miserable her entire life to the point where she'd never laughed. And I think anyone who sees a little baby laugh knows that it's like the best, you know, feeling in the world. Seeing a young person laugh. And so that's always going to be something that I hold with me. It motivates the heck out of me, because I know that every little person deserves that. Every little person deserves, if they're, you know, the kid who's miserable, it's going to impact who they grew up to be. Because how we develop and who we become, a lot of it is, you know, how we interact with our environment. And imagine being the sibling who's always the miserable one, the kid in a setting who's always looked at as like, oh, what's wrong with them? And so I know that little people turn into big people. I know there are a lot of people who suffer, and maybe they suffer for a good portion of their life. And I have a really strong belief that if we can figure out what's causing their body to just not express life the way it's designed to express, that there is absolutely hope to be had, and there's healing to be had. And I carry that into every single day. I sort of pray for wisdom every single day. Like, okay, how can I make a difference? How can I, you know, help this person just experience their life a little bit deeper?
What a incredible story. Imagine 22 months old and never feeling joy enough to laugh. I mean, yeah. My perception of kids is that they are the most joyful ones around, that laughing is something that is just, you know, intuitive and a response to what's going on around them. And imagine not feeling enough joy in 22 months. Your entire life. Like, what an incredible story. What incredible work you do. And imagine how much hope you gave not only to that little girl, but to her mom, to her siblings, to her family.
Yeah, it's the impact of everyone that's around that person. Because if same thing goes, if you have a child who, you know, you're struggling with, and you don't know what has them be so miserable and so uncomfortable. I know her mom probably tried a bunch of things. And, you know, she was probably at her wit's end trying to figure out, well, like, what's wrong? Like, what am I missing? Why is this kid so unhappy? And so, yeah, of course, you know, it's the impact on an individual, but then it's every other person that child meets and every other person who cares about that child.
And I imagine that mom and dad, the caregivers in that child's life, might have been wondering what they were doing wrong, that this child wasn't, you know, wasn't thriving. And so, yeah, the impacts would definitely be so, so long lasting. Something you said really tweaked my interest. I just finished reading a book, a new book that Oprah did in collaboration with a child psychologist. And you and I talked about this. The book is called What Happened to You? And it's about trauma-informed care and going into, you know, professions like yours, caregiving professions like yours, going into situations with people, instead of asking what's wrong with them, asking what happened to them.
Yeah.
And how our default has usually been to blame the person instead of to question the scenario or question what's going on for them that would cause them to be behaving in negative or disruptive ways. And I love, it feels like you are naturally going into situations with your clients from a perspective of what's going on for you, you know, that this isn't your fault. And that's hopeful in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a matter of just approaching each person with curiosity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have adults come in and they're telling me their, you know, all of the things that they're experiencing. And I always go, okay, but I want to find out where that's coming from and what the root of it is. Mm-hmm. And so I do care about obviously getting to know what someone's experience has been. But my job is to figure out, well, what's causing that? And where is the body, you know, storing that? Because we know that when a person has experienced trauma, it's stored in their body, which is why manual therapies, whether it's chiro, physio, massage, you know, there's all these different approaches, acupuncture, are so beneficial when there's been trauma, because we know that it's being stored in the tissues of the body, and we have to, you know, work to release where it's been stored so that the body can, so the brain can kind of come to terms with it and start to work on releasing it. Otherwise, we're all these, you know, people carrying all of our past experiences with us on our shoulders, and it gets kind of heavy after a while. So yeah.
Often the physical symptoms we're feeling are the symptoms, not the cause. And if we can get to that causal place of what happened to us, we can start to relieve some of the symptoms. Yeah. One of the things I talk about a lot is that hope has a PR problem. when I mention to people that I am an expert in hope, they go, what does that even mean? Are we going to talk about God and spiritual things? Maybe. Or we're going to talk about, you know, the science and taking action and all of these kinds of things. And I bring that up because of what you said about traditional chiropractic care. A lot of people listening might not know how chiropractic care has changed, how it continues to evolve, and how it contributes to holistic physical and mental wellness. Can you talk a little bit about what you say to people when they say, well, chiropractic's just, you know, cracking your back?
So, you know, part of why I'm so grateful for going to the school I went to is because, you know, Canada has one school and they teach one technique, which is, you know, great. I know it changes lives, that technique, but I also know that there are a bunch of ways to approach the spine and a bunch of different ways to approach, you know, healing and releasing, you know, trauma. Basically, what we know is that it's not just about, you know, moving something to reduce pain. It's about the connectedness between the brain and the body. And therefore, as you're working to increase awareness in the body and you're working to, you know, really make that connection between the brain and the body stronger, a whole, you know, host of things can happen. Pain is obviously, you know, a common reason that people go to a chiropractor. But there's also a huge, you know, world of just like wellness and you know, bringing, you know, the body back into a state of like normal physiological function. And so, yeah, traditionally chiropractors are like rack 'em, crack 'em, and that can maybe help with neck pain and back pain. But, you know, my experience as a 16-year-old was enough for me to know it was way bigger than that. And there was something deeper. And you know, it comes down to the autonomic nervous system. It comes down to the body being stuck into like a fight or flight state. And we know that if a body is stuck in that state of like stress and looking for the next bad thing to happen, we know that the body cannot rest, it cannot digest, it cannot restore itself the way it's designed to. So, you know, a big part of my job is just like hitting a little bit of a reset switch so that, you know, our body can function as it's designed to. And that's really the essence of it, is knowing that we are designed intelligently, knowing that our body is designed to heal. It's designed, you know, to express life in a big, beautiful way. And we just have to kind of reconnect the wires in order to allow it to do that properly.
So it feels so hopeful to hear you speak about those things, because it's, you know, you're giving hope to people who are experiencing chronic pain or chronic uncomfortableness, or have gone through life miserable, like this child, who are now adults. And we have gone through life for not only 22 months, but 22, 44, 66 years of being known as the grumpy old man and the grumpy old woman because of what's going on for us. So how important is proactivity in your work? You know, so once you've got to the cause and the symptoms are being reduced, what's your advice for people who are looking to be proactive to maintain their long-term health? And how can chiropractic care help with that?
I think proactivity is, you know, it's so important. Of course, when we're working with somebody to reduce pain, it will be the first focus of care. But we talk a lot about wellness care in our office. And wellness care looks like you're getting your spine checked, whether you're in pain or not. It's the same thing as, you know, exercising for the sake of being well, rather than only doing it to, maybe you're trying to lose weight or whatever it may be. Like you keep up these proactive practices, whether it's drinking water, eating well, moving your body, to keep your body in a state of adaptability, to keep your body in a state of balance. And so, you know, I take care of a ton of kids in my office. I take care of a lot of like pregnant moms too. And so what that allows for is it allows for me to check these little people sometimes within their first week of life, which is so cool, because I kind of got to like meet them while I was working with mom's belly, and then I get to meet them in person. And like, that is to me the essence of proactive wellness care. Like if I can have my hands on a kid right after they've been born and be like, okay, birth is hard and you're here now, welcome. And let's see if there was any stress caused by birth. And oftentimes there might be like one or two areas where there's holding a little bit of tension. And all I do is just kind of hold that and it releases. And most of them sleep through it. It's kind of beautiful. That I hear, you know, their moms just notice that their child's body just settles. And, you know, we see, you know, changes, whether it's, you know, in breastfeeding, digestion, sleep, all of these things. So for me, like, that's why I love taking care of kids, because it's proactive, right? Rather than waiting until they, you know, hit 30 or whatever age it is that problems start to crop up, you are checking in with their body along the way to say, hey, how are you doing? Where might you be storing stress? How can we, you know, bring more balance and connection between your brain and your body? So, you know, that's why I think I'm, you know, so excited about taking care of families and kids, you know, bringing balance to the body before there's pain or a problem, because oftentimes when there's pain, the problem's been there for a long time. There was probably some disconnect or some imbalance, and the body just got tired of trying to compensate for it. So proactive care looks like you get your spine checked periodically, whether you're in pain or not. And you just have that be part of the routine of like everything else that you're doing, just to like give love to your body and to support it.
Amazing. Amazing. So I imagine that many people that are listening to this podcast and hearing you speak who are brand new to chiropractic, have never been, scares the crap out of them. What would you say to those people that are on the edge and want to pick up the phone and give you a call? What would the experience be like for a newbie, for a first timer?
So the first thing we do is just get to know somebody, get to know their story, what they've been through, I'm trying to get a, like, I'm trying to feel for what I might be encountering once I actually have my hands on the body. And so the first visit in our office is we spend an hour with people just really like searching that out and trying to figure out, okay, well, where's the root? What's the cause? And the thing I always say to people, especially if they're nervous, I love when I have people come in who are like, I'm scared. And I'm like, great, you're in the right place. is that, you know, an adjustment doesn't have to look a certain way. That's why I'm so like, you know, happy that I have all these different like techniques and approaches. Some of the techniques I use are like zero cracking or popping. If somebody's really nervous about that, I'm like, great, let's not do that. Because I know that if I am working with somebody's body, that if in that moment they're scared, it's not healing. And so I really don't believe in, you know, kind of like pushing somebody to get adjusted in a way that's going to make them nervous. So it's all about finding what's going to suit their body best, and also just having, you know, feedback as we go, you know, making sure that we're just taking the time to really listen to the body as we work through it. I've had people where I'm about to adjust something and I can feel that their body goes, ooh, and I'm like, okay, we're right here. Let's pause. Let's make sure that you're comfortable. And let's make sure that if there's like, you know, because sometimes you're moving through stuff that's been there for a long time. I understand, you know, especially men and women, but especially with women, you know, who've potentially had physical trauma in the past. I am deeply connected to the fact that, you know, me moving through their body can be terrifying. And I won't, you know, move forward or proceed until like I have the go ahead, like, okay, we're here in this moment and this is important. And there has to be a relationship of trust there before we would even dive into any of that stuff. So, yeah, for the people who are nervous, I get it. I also don't like I'm a person who doesn't like really hard adjustments, like really, you know, big, kind of maybe more aggressive techniques. And so that's why I have a lot of techniques in my pocket that I can use that are like super gentle, where I'm like, see, that wasn't so bad. And people will laugh. Like generally the people who were scared will like laugh and be like, oh, you're right. Not scary at all.
Well, it's that customized approach, right? It's the no one size fits all. Yes. Really, I guess, truly a holistic approach, getting to know the human on your table, getting to know the human in your room, which feels very connected and like relationship building, which if anybody is a regular listener of the show, we talk about connection and community building and relationship building as a pathway to hope. It is the pathway to hope, truly. So there is so much alignment to the work that you're doing and how you are making the future better than today for people. There is one last question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, Dr. Madeline, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope is, you know, having a baseline understanding of what the body is capable of, what it's designed to do. I'm obsessed with, you know, understanding anatomy and physiology and like learning as much as I can about how the body heals. And I feel the more that I've learned, you know, in that realm, the more I am grounded in the fact that like human beings are designed to heal. It's what our body is supposed to do. And so what gives me hope is just knowing that if we can see where that, you know, normal, natural process is being blocked, that all we have to do is work to release that. And the body is always doing its absolute best to heal. And so that's what gives me hope, is knowing that and seeing it in my patients every single day. Seeing, you know, things that they've been dealing with for many years start to melt away. And then you get to see that smile on their face. They're like, yeah, feeling good. And like, just being like, you know, I had a patient yesterday who's like, I haven't had a single migraine since I saw you. And I've been taking care of her for months now. And I'm like, well, that's freaking cool. Yeah. I love that. And just knowing, yeah, it's exactly what we're supposed to do. It's exactly what our body is trying to do for us. And, you know, we just have to not get in its way.
How powerful and how empowering to know, you know, we have so much body image stuff going on in our minds, right? Often we blame our body for its pain and for its inability to do things, but you're flipping that to recognize that it is so powerful and it is designed to do these things. It is designed to be, you know, miraculously supporting us in all that we do if we just get out of its way and let it do it. And that feels unbelievably hopeful. Dr. Madeline, this has been an incredibly wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing your passion and your journey and your expertise with us. It has just been awesome to have this conversation, and I really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Take care. I hope you enjoyed this latest episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. These episodes are a labor of love. Inspiring conversations with hopeful people make my heart happy. If you also love this episode, it would be amazing if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. 5 stars if you're into it. It's these reviews that encourage Apple to promote this podcast to their network. And the more people that listen, the more hope we can spread into the world. Don't forget to check out the show notes of this episode to find all the links to my guests, books, and other resources referenced in this episode. You'll also find the link back to my website, where you will find additional support and resources for you, your team, and your community. I truly believe that the future will be better than today by taking action over the things we can control. And hearing from these guests on these episodes, I know that even more hopeful future is totally possible. I'm always looking for inspirational guests, so if you or anyone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. You can find me on the contact form of my website at expertinhope.com or by email at lindsay@expertinhope.com. When I was a teenager and my sisters were leaving the house to go out for the night, I always made it a point to remind them to call me if they need me. It was my way to tell them that I cared and would always be there for them. I'd love you to know the same, so all of you listening out there, call me if you need me. Again, thank you for your love and support of this podcast, my work in hope, and your intentional focus on making your future better than today. After all, hope without action is just a wish.